Yeah, for everybody to go home and sleep on this for 7 months, and we'll come back and do what's right by Minnesotans.
You're asleep for 7 months?
Are you a bear?
So, you didn't want to have some sway over a bonding bill?
No, we actually talked about a bonding bill today. We were open to bringing one to the floor tonight. Unfortunately, those talks broke down at some point this evening. I'm not sure exactly why, but unfortunately, a bonding bill didn't happen either. So. All right. Thank you.
Well, good evening. Minnesota House of Representatives hard at work here midnight on the last night that we can pass bills in the regular session. Looking forward to coming back at 9:30 tomorrow morning, getting back to work. There's a few bills that are very close, but we don't yet have agreement. Minnesota House is ready to come back and get the work done. And we understand, I think Representative Doubt put it quite well, you know, people should take the night, sleep on it. We hope our Senate GOP colleagues will, in the morning, agree that we need to come back and finish the work for the people of Minnesota. In the second year of a budget, you know, state government keeps functioning, whether we pass bills or not, but there's a lot of really important work that we can do for the people of Minnesota. One of the most significant things that we can do is match the federal funding in that bipartisan infrastructure act. There's about $700 million worth of transportation funding, pretty non-controversial, to match to bring about $4 billion in to Minnesota from the federal government. So we have some really important, relatively easy things to do. We have some really important, harder things to do, and we stand ready to work.
So. I just want to say, Minnesotans expect us to show up and get the job done. We have had a tendency in recent years to have a final agreement towards the close of session and to come back in a special session and finalize that work. We still have an opportunity to do that. The real question is for Senate Republicans. They have to be willing to commit to coming back, finalizing bills, and doing the work on behalf of Minnesotans. Nobody who is out there today thinking about childcare, thinking about where their parents are going to be in long-term care, nobody thinking about schools, nobody thinking about mental health, nobody thinking about the cost of living, cares one bit about whether who won or who lost in a legislative session. They just want us to do the work, and it's on Senate Republicans to make sure they continue to show up until we get this done.
Speaker, what did you do all after? Were you in, well, I don't mean, within reason, were you in triumvirate meetings? Were you meeting with Miller?
So today we continued the work that we've been doing since the bills have been in conference. We tried to assist those chairs who were having the most difficulty reaching a compromise to figure out a way that we could find a compromise. So we spent probably, I personally spent the most time on public safety. I know the HHS team has been working literally around the clock for 4 days. To try to get an agreement. And in E12, you know, as part of a lot of offers going back on E12 today, you know, ultimately I was very happy with the last offer that we made on public safety. I really thought that would do the deal. And on education, you know, we were just extremely, extremely close. Transportation didn't need any intervention by leadership. And they just kept working, and we sent an offer to the Senate, which was quite good. I haven't heard back. You know, I think we had sometimes some stops and starts where it was hard to tell whether the Senate wanted to try to finish or whether they didn't want to try to finish. And I think, you know, part of that is just how long it took to draft responses, and maybe they were just busy drafting counteroffers.
How do you keep this from becoming a summer-long dance? When you come back, what you'll take up, what might fall away, what might come into play?
I think there's a relatively brief window of time within which we need to have an agreement that makes sense to come in and finish up. And I think all of the bills are close enough that that could be within a day or two if there's a sincere desire and commitment on all parties to come and to the table and finish it up.
Madam Speaker,
In order to, for you folks to pass a tax bill, and I know that might be reconstituted somewhat a special session, do you need to have all of the big three? Do you need to have HHS, E-12, and public safety in order for you to pass a tax bill?
Senator Miller and I and the governor signed an agreement, and I expect that all of us can live up to that agreement in full.
You said a relatively brief window. When does the window close? Is it this week?
Well, I think that it would be best if we came back before Memorial Day weekend. I think, you know, definitely what would be optimal would be before my birthday on Friday, May 27th. But I think the sort of like second really most likely deadline would be the end of the week that contains Memorial Day on that Monday. Yeah. So, but it's what I don't know what the dates are. I just know when my birthday is, and I don't know what the dates in the week following. I could tell you every day of the legislative session what days were Mondays and whatever, but anything that beyond May 23rd, I haven't looked at the calendar past that.
So what do you do if the governor invites you to his office this evening with Senator Miller? You watch, you must have an appointment with him. What are you going to do there? What happens tonight?
He has invited us this evening. I am able to make it. I am not certain that Senator Miller has sent his RSVP yet. If we can't meet tonight, we will meet first thing in the morning. Governor and I will be meeting this evening. Whether Senator Miller will be there or not, I don't know.
Do what?
To talk about next steps and getting ready to structure a special session agreement if we could do that this evening.
So the biggest hang-ups, though, are public safety and K-12 education? You sound like HHS was a little bit more optimistic.
Education is very close. Transportation is very close. HHS, more difficult. Housing, I think, is pretty close. And there's one I'm missing.
The public safety.
Public safety, I actually think, is reasonably close as well.
Is that the one that's furthest away, Madam Speaker?
No, I think HHS is the most difficult one.
Why is that? Can you give us a...
It is a very complicated part of the budget. The Senate passed a very big bill, which they loved. We passed a very big bill, which we loved. There's a lot of unmet needs out there in the state of Minnesota, from disability services to nursing homes to child care. To hungry children and homeless youth and homeless people. And so it's just very hard, I think, in that budget area to winnow down what are the most important things to spend money on when there are so many important things to spend money on in that area.
And the public safety bill, are you going to get some of what you want in terms of community policing and the prevention stuff while still supporting police?
We had some really good conversations with law enforcement throughout. I believe that we had a lot of support for our efforts to include both crime prevention and funding for law enforcement in the bill. And I think we are very, very close to having a bill that everybody in the legislature could vote for.
You're talking about Memorial Day, you're talking about your birthday. The fact is, this is the deadline. Billions of dollars. How do you justify to the public that you haven't got it done now?
Well, this has become a fairly typical occurrence, as Majority Leader Winkler said, that at the end of the session, we're really close, but not done, and we need a little extra time. We have a very complicated state budget. We have a big state with a lot of people in it. And the length of the legislative session that we decided in 1970 has shown us over the last 20 years to not be long enough. And I think just a little bit more time, we can get it done. Ultimately, as the majority leader said, Minnesotans don't care how long it takes us to get done. What they care about is the quality of the work product that we deliver for them. And I think there's an awful lot of legislators on both sides of the aisle that are ready to work as long as it takes to deliver that. I'm going to go spend a little time with my caucus. I imagine that you are going to talk to Senate Republicans, and House DFLers, and I will, or Senate DFLers, and I'll talk to you again in the morning.
But are you worried about members, yours and in the other caucuses, getting cold feet around this deal? The longer it sits out there, the more they hear from constituents. Scott Jensen's going to be here later today, telling people not to pass this deal.
No, I'm not worried about that. I think it's a really good agreement, which is why the majority leader had a great press conference with the governor and Senator Miller while I had COVID. And they all talked about what a good agreement it was. It's a balanced agreement. It's a responsible agreement. We all wanted to give tax cuts to Minnesotans in light of the surplus. We all wanted to make investments in education and healthcare and public safety and transportation. And this agreement is very responsible looking forward. I have never been at a legislative session where the legislature and the governor in an election year, we're willing to leave $4 billion on the bottom line just out of prudent fiscal management. So I think it's a very good deal. I think it will look better to everybody after they get a good night's sleep.
One more comment. Senator Jensen has taken every position on every single issue. The fact of the matter is, a deal that we pass in a few days' time will have permanent Social Security tax exemption. It will cut tax rates. It will help fund law enforcement, and it will help fund nursing homes across the state. And if the Senate Republican candidate for governor wants to oppose all of those things, he might as well just choose a different party to run on, because that is the Republican platform.
All right, thank you.
sound check? You're good?
All right. Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for hanging around. You know, in many ways, the blame game will probably start. I'm not here to blame anyone. I will share that I'm disappointed, more so frustrated on the end of session. We, Senate Republicans, had a few priorities this session that I think we could have accomplished in a bipartisan manner, working with Democrats in the House and the governor. First and foremost was tax relief. When we have a massive budget surplus, our focus was putting more money back in the pockets of Minnesotans. We focused on permanent, ongoing tax relief. We passed that through the Senate with strong bipartisan support. That, of course, would have put more money in the pockets of Minnesotans every single paycheck, week after week, month after month, year after year. In addition to that large income tax reduction that we passed through the Senate, we also completely eliminated Social Security taxes. Minnesota is one of only 12 states that still taxes Social Security income. And not only did we pass that through the Senate with strong bipartisan support, but we took those priorities to the conference committee and worked together with Democrats in the House and got agreement on the full elimination of Social Security taxes and income tax rate reduction, as well as property tax relief for middle-income Minnesotans. That bill was agreed to by Democrats and Republicans in the House and the Senate. We could have got that done today. We could have gotten that done tonight. The Democrats in the House, of course, chose not to bring that up. Other areas where we have made a priority, and I thought we were going to find common ground, was on public safety. At a time when violent crime is absolutely out of control, at a time when we're hearing from Minnesotans who no longer feel safe in the communities that they live, work, and raise a family, it was time for the legislature to come together and provide additional resources for law enforcement. We know more good cops on the street results in less crime. We know that if we get tougher on crime and hold violent criminals accountable for their actions, that would make communities across the state safer. We put those proposals on the table. Unfortunately, Democrats in the House refused to put funding on the table for law enforcement until today, until the last day of session. They finally said, okay, we would agree to some funding for law enforcement, but we're not interested in getting tougher on crime. That just wasn't acceptable for Republicans. We worked tirelessly to try to find agreements on public safety. Unfortunately, we just didn't get there. Education is another area we should have gotten done before midnight. The conference committee was meeting. Republicans put on the table funding for literacy and funding for the special education cross subsidy, which was the number one priority of school districts across the state of Minnesota. That's what we put on the table. Democrats refused to accept that. When it comes to health and human services, Republicans had a strong focus on providing funding for nursing homes, assisted living facilities, group homes, disability services. That was our focus. Why? Because these facilities are in a crisis situation. They are facing potential permanent closures. And unfortunately, my Democrat colleagues in the House did not want to make that a priority. When it comes to transportation, we've putting offers on the table. We received an offer from House Democrats at 10:30 p.m. tonight that moved backwards, that took a step backwards from their previous offer. We saw last night in a conference committee the governor made a call to the Democrat chair in that conference committee and told them not to accept it. This is the legislative process, and the governor inserted himself into a legislative agreement and derailed that legislative agreement. We consistently received offers from the Democrats that exceeded the targets that were agreed to by House and Senate leaders and the governor. So that's why this process has been so frustrating, is because we could have gotten the work done before midnight. But yet we saw delay after delay after delay. And it makes it frustrating for all of us, because legislators and staff have been working very, very long days and late nights trying to get this done. But the one consistent thing we've seen all session is Democrats have blown past deadlines. When it came to reinsurance, they waited till the very, very last minute. When it came to unemployment insurance, they blew past the first deadline, and then it was at the very last minute that we were finally able to reach an agreement. And here we are, midnight, the last day of session, a real deadline, and we couldn't get the work done.
So what now? What happens now?
Come back next session and finish it up. And I can assure you that Republicans will continue to focus on putting more money back in the pockets of Minnesotans. That will continue to be a priority for Republicans. Public safety will continue to be a priority for Republicans. We want to provide additional funding for more police officers to help keep the public safe. We want to make communities across the entire state safer. At a time when police officers are retiring at a faster rate and a younger age than ever before, we need to support our law enforcement so they can help keep our communities safe. And we're going to continue to make education a priority. Education's a bipartisan issue. I cannot believe we could not get that done. It is unbelievable to me.
The governor invites you into his office after this and saying, let's talk about a special session. Are you going to go? And what are
you? We're always happy to listen. But the reality is the deadline was midnight, and that deadline has come and gone. I believe my staff has told me I have a meeting with the governor in the morning. We're happy to continue these discussions. But the reality is, as I said earlier today, as I said yesterday and the day before, we're not interested in a special session. For goodness sakes, get your work done on time.
Would you consider, Mr. Leader, under some circumstances, that you would go along with a special session?
You know, I'm never say never. I'm always willing to listen. But as I said earlier today, we're not interested in a special session. Here's what's going to happen. Okay, let's come back for a one-day special session. That one day will turn into 1 week. Then that 1 week will turn into 1 month. The Democrats have proven that deadlines don't mean anything to them. So what is the good of coming back for a special session on the taxpayers' dime? It just, to me, it doesn't make sense. If we couldn't get our work done by midnight tonight, how are we going to get our work done in a 1 or 2 day special session?
Because he has never called you guys into a special session without an agreement on all the bills. That's what happened.
He also said there was no special session.
He did say that. But he's not going to call you back and just say, go nuts for 2 months. He's going, I presume, that what he wants to talk about is say, once you guys have an agreement and want a special session, give him the thumbs up and he'll call it. Isn't that what's going to happen?
We've had members of the Senate working darn near around the clock for a week. What is 1 or 2 more days going to do? I don't get why the governor and the House Democrats want a special session. I don't, it feels like they started to delay things, especially when we got offers that didn't even fit within the parameters of the agreement. We got an offer an hour and a half before adjournment that moved backwards. It just doesn't feel like they've been negotiating in good faith.
Speaker Hortman said that the deals are getting pretty close in many, many areas. So could it get wrapped up?
We're close in some areas. We're pretty far apart in other areas. Again, there's no reason why we couldn't have had a deal on most of these areas 2 or 3 days ago. Public safety, we're still pretty far apart. There's a disagreement on funding for law enforcement and funding for community nonprofits. I don't know about you, but if I'm in danger, I'd rather call 911 and have police officers show up. If someone's getting carjacked, I'm not sure that a community nonprofit is going to be able to stop that. Now, we have great nonprofit organizations across the state, don't get me wrong. And in many cases, they're helpful in working with law enforcement. But when it comes to public safety, we need more funding for law enforcement to keep the public safe. It's a crisis situation. So we're pretty far apart when it comes to public safety. Some of the other areas, I think we could get there more quickly, but that's just the funding. We haven't even talked about any of the policy provisions. We couldn't come to an agreement on funding. Policy is a whole different discussion, and we didn't even get into those discussions.
Mr. Leader, your top priorities, and I know when you laid them out, were get some tax relief to Minnesotans and public safety. I think those were the ones that kind of rose to the top. How do you tell Minnesotans that you're not going to at least try beyond the deadline for your top priorities?
Look, we made every effort to get those priorities done. We had offers, public offers. We had public conference committees. This isn't like any other non-budget year in the past where a lot of deals were made behind closed doors, where you had one large omnibus bill. We had separate bills, separate conference committees. We had people working around the clock trying to get this done. I think the people of Minnesota know where Republicans are at on the issues. We made that very clear, and it's very disappointing that we could not reach an agreement with Democrats on these very important issues facing the state.
So then does it put you in a stronger position going into the election, not having, you know, in other words, you make that case to Minnesotans and say, hey, we try, you know where we stand, but the Democrats didn't do it? Is that the advantage, political advantage of having
to
have this way?
To me, it's not about the election. To me, it's about getting good things done for the people of the state of Minnesota. We had the opportunity to do that. We put offers on the table. Those offers were public. We've been very open and transparent about what we've been trying to accomplish, and it's very disappointing that we didn't get there, and I think the people of Minnesota know where Republicans stand on the issues, and that's up to them to determine what they think the best future is for the state of Minnesota based on what those important issues are.
So the outcome here is the remainder of the surplus, the big part of the surplus, is parked until January.
That's correct.
And you're fine with that?
Am I fine with it? No, I'm frustrated and disappointed with that.
Crisis situation, but you're not willing or interested to do a special session.
I didn't say I wasn't willing to do a special session. We're always willing to listen. The challenge is, how do we get there? If we couldn't get there now with a real deadline of midnight, how in the heck are we going to get there in a special session?
Does the break make it harder?
I think the break is good for everybody. Oftentimes I call this place, I love the state capitol, I love being here in St. Paul, but I like to describe it as being kind of isolated in a bubble. And when we're isolated in the bubble, oftentimes we lose touch with reality. We lose touch with listening and seeing and talking to people. So I think it's good for everyone to get back home to our families, get back home to our jobs, to our communities, take a little break, refresh, and then see where that leads us.
So would you say hold off on talks until after Memorial Day weekend? Is that kind of what you're thinking, Mr. Leader?
Well, again, the deadline was midnight. We didn't get there. And Republicans can blame Democrats. Democrats can blame Republicans. People can blame whoever they want. The reality is we didn't get there. And I think it's good for everyone to get home and get some rest.
But they're not blaming you. They're saying, keep talking. And you're saying, you're blaming them that they're not interested in talking.
I didn't say they weren't interested. I said we put offers on the table that would have got strong bipartisan support in both chambers, and they didn't accept those offers.
Great.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
The minority gets a rebuttal. So, and I'm here with my... Sure. Thank you. I'm Senate Minority Leader Melissa Lopez-Franson from the Senate Democrats, and we're in the minority, but we have a voice, and we are going to rebuttal what we just heard from Majority Leader Miller, because he is the leader of the Majority Caucus, and we had a historic opportunity to do so much for Minnesota, and there's a failure of leadership, and there is an unwillingness to compromise in a moment where people in Minnesota are asking us for support, whether it's the nursing homes, whether it's the teaching profession in the classroom, whether it's seniors, and whether it's any everyday community who are struggling with crime in their streets. We couldn't even agree on keeping all these issues at bay and making sure that we have supports for our communities. And it's a failure of all of us. So we can act like it's the House or the Senate's guilt or whatnot, but it's really a failure of all of us. And we have a lot of leaders, like I said, on the floor, but we need leadership. And we saw that the leadership of the Senate majority was simply to delay, because we know their objective was, one, tax cuts for the rich, for corporations. We wanted to make sure that this surplus went to as many Minnesotans who need it the most. Again, those are the families who are struggling to pay for childcare, who are struggling to find baby formula. We couldn't even agree to that, to find baby formula, to make sure that we didn't have price gouging in our state. We couldn't agree to an education bill to support our kids. And we were pretty close, I would say. But there was no real leadership to close the deal. We can't just say we're going to go on a race, but we're not going to touch the finish post. We have to go through that finishing line, and we failed to do that as a legislature. And I'll take responsibility. Our caucus will do as well. But here's what we need to do, is to get together, get these things done. We had plenty of time to do the work for Minnesotans, and people refused to come to the table. People refused to do the work. And we're digging their heels. And that is not good for democracy. That is not good for our state. We need people to compromise. And this Senate majority is not willing to do so. So it's unfortunate, disappointing, a historic opportunity, and we didn't get the work done. And that is not what we're here to do, to represent our communities and serve the people of Minnesota. So I take responsibility for our part, but I would say there's plenty of blame to share. I don't know if any of my...
Yep. We got to get down to the governor.
Sure.
We haven't heard from him all day. So you want the governor to consider a special session to keep this going? Is that what I'm hearing?
I think we've done it before. We've done special sessions before when we come to an agreement before we come here and vote for those bills. They are very close to being done. I think if we get the four leaders together, we can get them done.
Madam Leader, the majority leader is reluctant to have a special session. What do you think about that?
It's very convenient to walk away, but we can't walk away from Minnesotans. We need to do the work. We can do the work. There's special sessions for a reason. We can come together, finish processing all these bills, and get it done. This was a bonding year. We couldn't even get a bonding bill through the finish line. That was supposed to be our first priority for this session. So it's a colossal failure of leadership in my take. And blaming Democrats for that lack of leadership in the Senate is a cop-out. We have to definitely look in ourselves in the mirror and say that we had a part of not getting this deal done.
Just a moment, folks. Nick Frentz, Assistant Minority Leader. I want to ask all of you this question. Here we are. What percentage of Minnesotans say we should pack up and go home and stop negotiating? And what percentage of Minnesotans would say, you guys get back in there and get to work and get these deals done? I would suggest to you the vast majority of Minnesotans want us to get this done. And the number one reason is because of all the good that these bills would do. Education, public safety, $4 billion in tax cuts, much of which takes effect this year. Do you think the people of Minnesota want us to go home and come back in 7 months so they don't get that tax relief? I'd suggest to you that what should happen here is all four caucuses agree to get back together immediately to try to work this out. And as Senator Lopez Franz has said, we're close on a lot of them. The initial progress is there. All we need to do is make some offers, get back and forth, and wrap it up. And I think if we did, not only would the people be better served, but you would see a little bit of a sigh of relief that our divided government can work. And I think that's better for the people of Minnesota. Thank you. Thank you.
this too. Thank you. question.
Good evening, everybody. It's good to see you all. Earlier today, I signed 23 bills into law, and I'm quite confident that more work got done in the last 24 hours than did in the last 5 months. And with that being said, I'm grateful that the legislature has put a lot of effort into the things that we care about. And we know with this budget surplus, with the good situation we're in with COVID, that Minnesotans are hopeful. They're going to grad parties this weekend. They're looking forward to graduation. They're looking forward to summer. And we've got a lot of great opportunity to continue to build on that. The idea of making sure we're putting money back in the pockets of Minnesotans has been a top priority. The ability to make sure that we're investing in education. We've got great plans out there for our kids to make sure we move forward, and that's building that workforce of the future. And we've got some really good bipartisan ideas around public safety. All of those things are close. And so I'm optimistic. I think deadlines matter. I think the deadline forced a lot of work today. In my opinion, we're about 90 to 95% of the way there. And you don't get the ball to the 1 yard line and go home. You finish the job that Minnesotans expect us to do. And Minnesotans across this state are excited about the proposals we put together, about the agreements that we came to. It's fiscally responsible, it puts money back in their pocket, and it hits on those priorities that they care about: their children, their communities, transportation, roads and bridges, matching the federal dollars, finishing border-to-border broadband. There's just a ton of good things here. So we'll get this thing. It's close. A lot of good work happened today, and it's just, it's always in the details. You got over 200 and individual elected officials. They all believe they have the best ideas. A lot of compromise happened today. A little bit more will bring this thing home. So I'm hopeful. We'll meet in the morning to bring the speaker and the leader back in here, get those final things worked out, and figure out a way to bring this home. Minnesotans deserve it. Minnesotans deserve it. Minnesotans expect it of us. This is the work that we're supposed to do. And this is what governing and leadership looks like. So I'm hopeful. We'll get her done.
So are you calling a special session?
We'll get in the morning, and yeah, we'll finish this. We have to. We're right there. The ball's on the 1 yard line. I feel very strongly about that. I think you know, it always works this way. It's frustrating to all of us. It's frustrating to me on this side of it that I had a budget out on the 20th of January. And a lot of these things waited to the last minute. But I think all of us here, the folks hearing this, and I think as you do a good job conveying it to Minnesotans, this is the nature of deliberative bodies. They tend to be this way. And it's not an excuse, but it's certainly a reason. This is one of the two divided legislatures in the country. You're going to have some differences. But yeah, we're too close. Bring this back. We're too close to leave all these good things on the table. And it's our job to do it. It's not your job to come up here for 5 months and then go home.
So what do you want before you call it? What do
we'll get an agreement. We'll just get an agreement amongst the leadership of those areas to tie up. We'll make sure that the folks are talking so that we're coming in. It'd be tight, finish up the final things, and it should be a short special session.
Governor, Majority Leader Miller is reluctant, as he stated to us, says this is the deadline. What are we going to gain by going a few more days?
We're going to gain tax cuts for Minnesotans. We're going to gain investments in education. We're going to gain a public safety bill. We're going to match the federal dollars on transportation, and we're going to do the job that Minnesotans sent you here to do. That's what we're going to get done.
And he's being coy, I think it's reasonable to say, about this, which gives him some negotiating leverage. In other words, he can say, hey, give me a little bit more, and then I'll go along with you on a special session. How do you counter that, Governor?
Well, the Senator's going to have to know that you have to give him this. You're not going to have it all your own way. I've said that from the beginning. I think some of you have seen the deals that have been out there. I've been willing to compromise because they're good for Minnesota, and it's the way it is. The Senator's going to have to realize he's super focused on tax cuts, especially for Minnesotans who are a little better off. That's their perspective. They're not going to leave kids behind in this. We're not going to not fund children's mental health. That is simply not going to happen. And we're simply not going to leave our care providers, whether they be the long-term care providers or our child care providers. We've said that all through COVID. We in Minnesota have a track record that we did better than any other state investing in our child care and investing in our long-term care during COVID. I'm not going to leave that on the table. So, you know, continuing to say we need a little more leverage, whatever, you need to compromise. I stand in front of you. I thought it made sense to send money back to Minnesotans in the form of a check they could get right now, I was willing to compromise on a tax bill that had some other things in there. That's the way this works. I'm just asking for these small things that are yet to be done, that we get just a little bit of those wrapped up and we can get the House and Senate together. We'll be glad to get them there.
Governor, what happens if you can't get that last yard? What message will that send?
The message it'll send if we can't get this done?
If you can't get the last yard, as you put it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's, I think the message it sends is that we need folks that are not rigidly ideological, that they're willing to come together. We're able to get this thing done. I'd ask you again to point out where they feel like they've given a ton on this. I can go down the lines where I said, you know, I'm willing to give on this. I think budget-wise, and I think for the help of Minnesotans, I think checks in the pockets right now as part of a broader package made a lot of sense. But I'm also willing to say your ideas are okay. I'll go with you on that. So we're going to get it done. I'll tell you what's not going to happen is it's not going to be because we haven't made every effort to do that. The idea that the clock struck midnight and you turn into a pumpkin or something. No, we've had special sessions every single time if the work needs to get done. The work is what matters.
Really? That's a lot of pressure. I'm not going to ask you to choose among your children, but is it possible that one of these bills or two of these bills doesn't end up passing? That if you get eight of them...
Well, I think it's too early to try and do that. Again, you've heard me use the analogy. It's the Rubik's Cube, a lot of things moving. These are all good things. I've set up from the beginning and said that there were win-win-wins. And again, a couple weeks back on State of the State, I said, let's go ahead, which we did, finish the UI, finish the frontline workers, get us in a position to handle COVID, then let's move forward. We got veterans, we got some of these other bills this week that were pretty good and picked a lot of those things off. But we're simply not gonna go with Republican priorities alone. I've made it clear, children and their feeding children and their housing and their education is a top priority for me, and I would argue it's a top priority for all Minnesotans, and I don't want it left behind. And we're simply, when we make these deals, the Senate doesn't get to spend 90% of what it is, and the governor's office and the House gets to spend 10%. There has to be a little bit of movement there. So we're just asking, again, help us a bit. Shouldn't be so hard to give a little bit of child mental health care, give a little bit on their daycare providers, give a little bit to help us out with the nursing homes. Got a good stuff in there on public safety with pensions for police and some of those types of things. Why would you leave that on the table? It's right here to be done. We're not in a budget deficit situation, and we smartly were leaving some on the bottom line. So I just think it's, I won't negotiate with myself on this, but as I've said from the beginning, I'll negotiate with them for what's good for Minnesota.
What's the new deadline? I mean, well, if he says tomorrow, okay.
You guys have been all through this. I think it's when we got to get it done. We can't obviously go on forever, but I want to make it clear, we're here to get a deal. The Speaker has made it clear that she's here to get a deal, and I just heard the Senate say they're not so sure they're here to get a deal. So I think the real question is how committed are Senate Republicans to making sure we get tax cuts for Minnesotans, that we invest in education, get a public safety bill done, and we set ourselves up for the largest influx of federal funds in transportation in a generation. If they're committed to doing those things, it's right in front of us, should be done. So I think the sooner the better makes sense. Get this thing done as quickly as possible. And then they go back, they're part-time legislators, they go back to their jobs, and we implement these things, make things better for Minnesotans.
Do you have a little more leverage now? Just because you called the special session, and will you use that?
Well, the leverage piece on this always is that I think it depends on how you go into this. One of the things is, I don't look at these things as wins for me. I look at what's the best policy for Minnesota. And when they came together, there's a lot, and I think you've seen some of the things that I advocated for are no longer in these budget packages, but similar things are in there to make things better. What I will tell them is that I have a relatively big, platform to tell people, Minnesotans want us to finish this. There is no one, well, I shouldn't say no one, there may be a few people who would not like to see us get this done, but I would guarantee you the vast number of Minnesotans are like, just finish this thing, give us back the money, invest in our schools, get our roads built up, do some public safety funding, leave money on the bottom line, and then go away. That's what they're looking for. And so I think the leverage comes from the people. I think the leverage comes from the idea that, my God, we're in an incredible position. We're 90 to 95% of the way there. We're sitting on the proverbial one-yard line. Just punch it in. Just get it done. Go back. All right? Thank you all. We'll see you early in the morning. Thank you.